other cases. So the problem in the genes does not come from nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
The origin has a cause. That is the second point that I wanted to share. So this world is based on the principle of cause and effect. So our dear listeners may ask that, okay, the pollution is there, chemical weapons are there, mobile signals are there, but why children should be suffering? The point is that we are living in a world that is based on cause and effect.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot say that why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the knife sharp, because sometimes, with this sharp knife, people can harm each other or kill each other.
Yes.
Or for example, let me give you another example. We have the gravity.
Yes.
And we know how beneficial gravity of the earth is. Now, for the same gravity, a person might fall from a roof and he may die.
Yes.
So can we ask why in this case gravity is still working? No, this is a cause, and each cause has the effect. So this world is based on the concept of cause and effect. So we cannot expect a cause to be there without its effect.
Yes.
So when we're talking about these problems and even genetics, the children who are born as crippled and disabled, they are the cause, they are the effect of a cause.
Mm-hmm.
And for sure there has been a cause. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the parents are guilty,
yes,
and sometimes they are not guilty. But at the end of the day, the cause is there and the effect should follow that.
That's right.
And there is no, there is not any other way.
Yes.
IRIB English Radio presents Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs. Answering your theological questions in Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs. Send us your questions to English Radio at irib.ir.
Praises to Allah, all glories to Allah. We worship Allah and no one but Allah.
Still, some may ask that why children should pay for the guilt of other people. As I mentioned, the world is based on the concept and principle of cause and effect.
Yes.
Now, for the people who are suffering from such problems and they are not responsible, Allah,
yes,
subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it up for them in the hereafter,
mm-hmm,
or sometimes even in this world.
That's right.
La yukallifullahu nafsan illa wus'aha. Allah does not task any person beyond his or her capacity. Chapter,
right,
Baqarah, verse 286. So if you are suffering from a problem, from a disease, or if you are born disabled, and for sure you have no role in that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of the fact that you were not guilty,
yes,
He will make it up for,
mm-hmm,
you in the hereafter, or sometimes even in this world by giving you other blessings.
Mm-hmm.
So other people who are responsible, they will be punished.
Yes.
People who are, helping the spread of pollution and chemical weapons, or if the parents are responsible. We know that in many cases, the parents, they have not taken into consideration the issues related to health and hygiene.
That's right.
And that is why they would be punished.
Especially nowadays in medicine, we have the concept of screening.
So as I mentioned, for those people, like the children who are not guilty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it up. How? Let's share a narration from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. He says that, ثُمَّ لِلَّذِينَ يَنْزَلُ بِهِمْ هَذِهِ الْبَلَيَا مِنَ الثَّوَابِ بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ إِنْ شَكَرُوا. For the people who are suffering from some affliction, any affliction, but they are not guilty, if they are, patient, مَا يَنَالُهُمْ مِنْهَا, they will have such a kind of reward in the hereafter that حَتَّى إِنَّهُمْ لَوْ خُيِّرُوا بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ لَاخْتَارُوا أَن يُرَدُّوا إِلَى الْبَلَايَا لِيَزْدَادُوا مِنَ الثَّوَابِ. This is a very interesting narration from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Those people who are suffering from these problems in the hereafter or even in the grave, they are given so much reward that they wish to come back to this world again to have more afflictions. And according to some narrations, people would have wished that they would come back to this world and to be put into pieces by Caesars.
Yes.
The story of Abu Basir and Muhammad Baqir alayhi salam is also famous. He was blind from birth. Once he complains to Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, and he asked the Imam to pray for him so that he would be able to see. Imam told him that I would do so, but before that, let me show your status, your position in paradise because of this suffering that you have in this world. Now, in a miraculous way, Abu Basir was able to see his great position in the paradise. And then he told Imam Sadiq, Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, that I prefer to continue to be as a blind person. So this is a very important point. Of course, people who are suffering, they are having a very difficult time in this world. But if they think about the rewards given to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter, then it would be a way for them to be more patient.
That's right.
So this is the second point. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it up for these people sometimes in this world, but mainly in the hereafter and also in the world of barzakh.
Is it also a kind of test and trial for some
sure.
good people?
Exactly.
Or is that, for example, giving a crippled child to a person to test him or something like that?
Yeah. I mean, afflictions have different reasons. For some people, it can be a divine test to see if they are patient. For some people, it is because of their actions. They have committed a sin, and that is the result of their actions. For some people, it is to escalate and strengthen their position
yes.
and their level before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we can think of different wisdoms. The last point that I would like to share is that, as I mentioned, the parents, especially when it comes to the disabled children, they need to take into consideration the Islamic instructions and also the issues related to health and hygiene.
Yes.
We know that when it comes to the conception, the nutrition is very important before the pregnancy, during the pregnancy. So both issues should be taken into consideration. There are some narrations in Islamic sources about the health of the fetus. And I would recommend our dear listeners to refer to these books written about the child and the upbringing of child. And of course, also the books of medicine. As I mentioned, in many cases, it is the result of an illness in the parents. So that scrutiny is very important. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it is the cause of them yes. being drunk, for example, and so on and so forth. So in many cases, the parents should be blamed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it up for the children
yes.
who are innocent.
That's right.
But the parents who have not taken into consideration these points, they would be blamed both in this world and, of course, in the hereafter.
That's right. Thank you very much, Sheikh Karimi. It was very kind of you.
My pleasure.
And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. See another episode. God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban li Aliyin wa Husayn wa Hasan. لعلي وحسين وحسان إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسان لعلي وحسين وحسان كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نارا من لبن إن في الجنة نارا من لبن علي وحسين وحسن.
يوسف جلالي بتهران.
روباشافت غازا.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Pourreza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Amin Olemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Round the world with reporters.
For the third Saturday in a row, pro-Palestine demonstrators packing the streets of central London to condemn the UK government's unequivocal support for Israel.
Our government is cheering this on and it's supporting Israel to carry on with the massacre in Gaza. So we want to try and stop that.
I'm so ashamed of our government that they are sanctioning what I think is just collective murder. And it really, really has got to stop. It's awful.
They should be listening to the protesters and demanding that there's an immediate and complete ceasefire, that humanitarian aid is allowed through.
From Madrid to Milan and beyond, even in Germany, home to one of the largest Muslim communities in the EU, where such protests have been restricted over what was described as anti-Semitism concerns.
Despite government attempts to delegitimize it, support for Palestinians is on the rise, with hundreds of thousands of people taking to the streets of central London today to raise awareness of what's happening in Gaza and to express solidarity with the Palestinians.
Public pressure seems to be working. London's Labour mayor has become the latest politician to call for a ceasefire, breaking ranks with his party's leader, Keir Starmer, who said Israel reserved the right to cut all supplies to Gaza. 250 high-ranking lawyers have written an open letter to the government urging it to stop arming Israel.
And they are paying the taxes to kill our brothers, so it's unfair. It's completely unfair.
It should stop. We want ceasefire. We want talking, negotiating, but giving Palestine what it deserves, having been bullied for 50, 60, 70 years.
As the war on Gaza rages on, there is no sign of the emotions letting up or the demands that so many here are making for their leaders to find a political solution to the crisis. Saeed Pourreza, London.
On Saturday, people from across Italy flooded into the streets of central Rome to stage a new rally against Israel's ongoing carnage in the Gaza Strip. More than 20 pro-Palestine demonstrations have been staged in several Italian cities and towns since the start of the conflict on October 7. At Saturday's rally, attended by more than 20,000 people, demonstrators were saying that what Israel has been doing for decades to the Palestinians in the Gaza Strip and the West Bank is shameful and outrageous.
It's a war crime. Israel is killing innocent people. It has occupied a land belonging to Palestine.
President Netanyahu.
Unfortunately, Netanyahu is not alone. That's why they are not stopping the war. How many more civilians and children have to be slaughtered?
This is a genocide, and it must be said. They have to stop now.
So far, the Italian government, supported by practically all the mainstream media, has lined up with no care for the onslaught of thousands of civilians and children by Israel.
The double standard on Israel and Palestine is appalling. American imperialism and Zionism deeply influenced the media's approach on the conflict.
The crowd of people at the rally held a march towards St. John's Square, waving hundreds of Palestinian flags and chanting out loud, "Free Palestine."
The United Nations has urged Israel to put an end to its collective punishment of the entire population of the Gaza Strip. A communication blackout caused by Israel's heavy bombing has resulted in the Gaza Strip being unreachable. This makes it even more difficult to obtain information and evidence about international law violations and war crimes being committed against Palestinian civilians.
It is important that the United Nations have condemned Israel's crimes. We are saying that Western countries, including the Italian government, are not credible anymore. They are complicit in the crimes perpetrated by the fascist Netanyahu government.
Many at the rally expressed deep concern over the fate of hundreds of thousands of Palestinians as the Israeli air and ground forces are stepping up operations in the Gaza Strip. Some said that, given the circumstances, the involvement of other countries seems inevitable. Max Civili, Rome.
Hundreds of people have rallied near the Israeli embassy in downtown Seoul, demanding the Israeli military stop its attacks on Gaza residents and calling for a truce. After shedding more light on the ongoing deadly violence, including war crimes committed by Israel, a Palestinian student expressed her gratitude for the global popular support for Palestine.
Today, we affirm your solidarity with Palestine is solidarity with the truth, with the right people and the owners of the land, with those whom the world has forgotten for many years.
Speakers also warned of the pro-Israeli narrative dominating Western media. Meanwhile, many South Koreans are getting a grasp of the basic truths.
The fundamental problem of this violence lies in Israel's excessive blockade and repressive policy towards Gaza.
Concern among people from around the world has grown as communication with the Gaza Strip has been cut off and calls for a truce ignored by Israel and the U.S.
We need a ceasefire right now. Too many innocent people have died and it is continuing and no one is putting a stop to it. There's no one listening to us. No one is helping us. And I am for the people of Palestine. This is no longer a conflict. It is a genocide.
South Korean President Yoon Suk-yeol has called for a political solution and carefully sidestepped offering Israel the unconditional support it's received from Washington.
Although South Korea is an ally of the United States, what's striking is these regular demonstrations of support for Palestine. And while many of those rallying here today are students and business people from the Middle East, a broad range of participants are also Koreans who are increasingly questioning Israel's current actions, as well as Israel's overall policies toward the Palestinians. Frank Smith, Seoul.
On Saturday, more than 1 million people gathered in Atatürk Airport in Istanbul in support of Palestinians in the besieged Gaza. The rally was attended by Turkish President as well as a number of ministers and parliament members. Erdogan said the Western countries that shed crocodile tears over the death of civilians in Ukraine are not only turning a blind eye to the death of Palestinian civilians in Gaza, but also supporting it. He added that Turkey is against this double standard and hypocritical behavior. Turkish President also went on to say that the West has mobilized its politicians and media to legitimize the massacre of the innocent people of Gaza.
The main culprit behind the massacre unfolding in Gaza is the West. The massacre in Gaza is entirely the work of the West. Israel will not last even 3 days without the support of Western countries. They fully support the child killers in Gaza. Israel is now behaving like a war criminal.
Erdogan also warned that his country is preparing to reveal to the world that Israel is a war criminal.
We came here with our kids to stand with the people of Palestine, to voice our rejection to the killing of children. This is not a war, this is a genocide. Everyone knows and sees this, but they are unfortunately silent. I did not want to be silent, that's why I came here.
The rally-goers chanted slogans condemning Israeli atrocities in the Gaza Strip, calling it the genocide of the century. They called on their government to take concrete actions to end the ethnic cleansing of Palestinians.
At the concert today, of course, I canceled it. And I came here to voice my rejection to the Israel massacre against civilians and to support Palestinian people who have been witnessing a real massacre for the past 22 days. I hope that the voice of the 1 million who attended to this rally would reach the 3 billion Muslims all over the world, and we can push it to stop aggression.
The rally was attended by political party leaders, politicians, and artists. Protesters from different nationalities also attended to show their support for Gaza. They voiced their anger at the Israeli war on a blockaded strip that has no electricity, water, and even internet.
I am from Gaza and my whole family is there. I have lost contact with them since yesterday. For the past 22 days, Gaza has been under attack and civilians and children are dying. The international community is silent and all we need now is a ceasefire, as even hospitals are being bombed and the situation is very bad in the strip.
Following Erdogan's speech, Israeli Foreign Minister Eli Cohen ordered Israeli diplomats in Turkey to return to Israel and called for a reassessment of ties with Turkey due to what he called harsh criticism by leaders in Turkey against the military offensive on Gaza.
Just like other cities around the world, people in Istanbul are calling for an end to the Israeli aggression on Gaza. People here want their government and the international community to help stop the Israeli genocide of Palestinians. Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Paris has resumed banning pro-Palestinian demonstrations, this time in what many committed activists said was a trap laid especially for them. Just 90 minutes before the start of a highly anticipated anti-Israel march across the city, local authorities withdrew the permit. That gave police the power to abuse, fine, and arrest those who attended, and also to unfairly portray peaceful protesters as lawbreakers. Similar tactics were used to scare the average citizen from joining the Yellow Vest movement, and it makes the lack of huge protests in Europe's largest Muslim country more understandable. Marchers accused Israel of almost too many atrocities in Gaza to list. Official war crimes, the most brutal siege in modern times, on top of an already illegal 17-year blockade. The indiscriminate bombing of civilians, propagating false and easily disproven claims regarding the actions of Hamas, the murder of thousands of children, attacks on schools, hospitals, and mosques, decades of apartheid, a merciless imperialist project reminiscent of a thankfully bygone era of human history, and on and on.
A genocide.
It's a genocide. We must call a cat, as we say in France. But wow, what a poor cat. Across France, people are morally devastated by what they are seeing being done to Palestine. How can these things be happening in 2023?
Many voiced contempt for already deeply unpopular President Emmanuel Macron, who has given almost unconditional support for Tel Aviv.
We don't understand the position of our president at all. How can he unconditionally support the crimes of Israel and not support Palestinian civilians? How can he support Israel when they are not respecting the most basic human rights? And then to ban our public support for Palestine shows how he's gone from very bad to intolerable.
Macron has joined Washington in openly expressing fear that if Israeli atrocities do not stop, the entire region could rally to the Palestinian cause. With three African countries expelling French troops and ambassadors this summer, anti-Western sentiment could spread very far. Ramin Mazahiri, Paris.
In response to a call by the Palestinian revolutionary factions, thousands of Syrians and Palestinians gathered in Jaramana refugee camp in Damascus to show their support for Gaza and the resistance front.
Today we reaffirm our right to return, determine our fate and establish our Palestinian state and our land with its capital in Al-Quds. We came today as civilians, but we confirm to the Zionist enemy that we can become fighters at any time.
Today we are sending a message to the entire world to see what is happening to our people in Palestine and the injustices they face, particularly women and children.
Protesters expressed their unwavering support for Gaza, pledging to lay down their lives in defense of Palestine and affirming that martyrdom is the only way to reclaim the right of liberating their land.
Today, amidst the challenging circumstances faced by Gaza, we observe a significant bias in Western media, which conceals the truth and events unfolding in Gaza, from Syria, a resilient nation, and from the Jarmana camp in the heart of the capital Damascus. These people declare, "We, as Palestinians and Syrians, are brothers in blood and arms."
The crowds condemned the complicity of Western media in the heinous crimes committed by Israel against Palestinians and expressed their trust in the resistance media to reveal the truth.
While the Western media outlets turn a blind eye to over 2 million Palestinians trapped under daily Israeli bombing in Gaza, the Syrian people tell the world, "We believe in resistance and we will support Palestine until victory." Ibrahim Wahdi, Damascus.
On Friday, a two-day conference dubbed Stop World War III kicked off in the Italian capital. Dozens of geopolitical analysts, delegates from peace movements and individuals took part in the event, which is aimed at discussing the root causes of the war between Russia and Ukraine and Israel's aggression on the Gaza Strip.
Experts at the conference are saying the ongoing war in the Gaza Strip could possibly spill over to turn into a wider regional conflict and drag in more countries amid the Russia-Ukraine war and other geopolitical tensions across the globe. There are speculations that potential ripple effects of these conflicts could develop into a new world war.
Conference speakers all agreed that the current wars have been triggered by the US and supported by its closest allies to maintain a unipolar world order, which is being called into question by billions of people across the globe.
We are in a historical transitional phase from a US-led decaying monopolar global order to a new one. Those representing the old order are wounded beasts, and wounded beasts are extremely dangerous.
Regarding the ongoing Russia-Ukraine war, some analysts and top officials pointed out that the conflict did not start neither on February 24 last year, nor when the US incited the 2014 coup, but farther back in time with the expansion of NATO towards Eastern Europe.
The NATO in the present form is the most source of war danger in Europe and in the world. And that's why NATO not only should stop expansion, but NATO should stop its existence.
Israel is a supremacist, racist, warmongering and colonialist state. This state does not represent the Jewish community as a whole. There is a deep split in it, as many Jews are against Zionism.
On Friday, the United Nations urged Israel to put an end to its collective punishment of the entire population of the Gaza Strip, noting that collective punishment is a war crime. Max Civili, Rome.
As the Israeli regime's onslaught on Gaza continues, protests in the Lebanese capital Beirut have not diminished. Words of solidarity and chants are the only weapon people here have to express their anger. But Beirut is not only condemning Israeli crimes, but also remembering those killed in the Israeli targeting of civilians. Abdurrahman al-Hassani, also known as Abed, a Palestinian living and working in Lebanon, lost 10 members of his family in one night as a result of the Israeli shelling.
This blood that has been shed is a gift to every free person in the world so we can all live with dignity. No matter how far this enemy goes with its killing, we must live freely and honorably and take the path which has been lit for us by the martyrs. This blood of the children, women, elderly and youth is the most precious thing we have to give in order to see Palestine, which yearns for life and freedom without an oppressive occupier.
His friends who were heartbroken and came to give their condolences were stunned with how he greeted them with a smile on his face.
As you can see, the smile doesn't leave his face. He's happy for his family because they believe this is what they've been raised to do until they achieve liberation. But at the same time, this should expose what the barbaric actions of the Israelis happening in Gaza. We believe that we are all in this together.
Actually, no words are enough to deliver what we feel toward the massacre that happens, and also towards the smile that Abdurrahman is really expressing. All his family members are martyrs, and this is such a big thing, but it is so normal for the Gaza people, for the Palestinian people, who are day after day standing, resisting this criminal, Israel.
They know that this is the price that they have to pay for liberation of their land. And he just lost 10 members of his family, including his sister. I mean, he had this very beautiful relationship with his sister. And she has a beautiful daughter. She's 2 years old. Her name is Ward, and he just lost her. And it's been a long time since he last saw them.
But you can see a lot of resilience. You can still see a lot of patience. God has given him so much patience. I have no idea how he's been able to go through all of that.
In addition to his uncle and brother, who were leaders in the Palestinian resistance, at least 5 children were killed during this massacre, which is one of the many taking place in Gaza amid international silence.
Abed's family is one of many in Gaza that are willing to give their lives for the sake of their homeland. While the Israeli atrocities have led to global condemnation on the barbaric nature of the regime's practices, yet Palestinian people believe that their sacrifices is a necessary step on the path to liberation. Maryam Saleh, Beirut.
Join us in this journey. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight. The Islamic Republic of Iran and Qatar have called for an immediate end to Israel's savage aggression against the Gaza Strip. We take a look at the world media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. Iran's Press TV has covered this story and tells us more. The Iranian Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdullahian and his Qatari counterpart Foreign Minister Sheikh Mohammed bin Abdulrahman bin Jassim Al Thani have called for an immediate end to the Israeli regime's war of aggression against the besieged Gaza Strip. The Iranian Foreign Minister Amir Abdullahian and his Qatari counterpart Sheikh Mohammed bin Abdulrahman bin Jassim Al Thani made the remark in a phone conversation on Sunday, 29th of October. The two top diplomats discussed the latest developments relating to Palestine and the ongoing Israeli war against the Gaza Strip. The foreign ministers underlined the need for an immediate halt to Israel's indiscriminate airstrikes against the blockaded Palestinian territory. They also urged uninterrupted supply of humanitarian aid for the people of Gaza. Earlier the same day, Hossein Amir Abdullahian had a phone call with his Saudi counterpart, Prince Faisal bin Farhan. During that telephone conversation, both sides called for collective regional and international action to immediately end Israel's attacks on the Palestinian civilian population of Gaza. The two foreign ministers emphasized that Gaza is in dire need of constant humanitarian aid and that the forced displacement of Palestinians by Israel needs to be countered. The Israeli regime has been waging a brutal war against Gaza since 7th of October, when the Palestinian Islamic Resistance Movement Hamas and its fellow Gaza-based resistance movement, the Palestinian Islamic Jihad Group, launched their biggest operation against the occupying regime in years. The surprise Palestinian offensive, dubbed Operation Al-Aqsa Storm, came in response to the Israeli regime's intensified crimes against Palestinians. The death toll in Gaza since the start of the Israeli aggression has exceeded 8,000, 70% of which includes women and children. Despite the unconscionable death toll, on the 23rd day of the war in Gaza, the Israeli regime declared that the war has entered a new phase, following which it intensified its air, sea and ground attacks on the Gaza Strip. The United Nations General Assembly has called for an immediate humanitarian ceasefire in Gaza, with 120 member states voting for a resolution for an immediate ceasefire. The Israeli regime, however, has rejected that call. Meanwhile, Iranian President Said Ebrahim Raisi has hailed the recent condemnation of the Israeli regime's crimes against Palestinians in the besieged Gaza Strip by the United Nations General Assembly, describing it as an important achievement. The positive vote of most member countries of the United Nations General Assembly in condemnation of the Zionist regime's crimes against Palestinians in Gaza, despite all the threats and promises posed by the global arrogant system, was an important achievement, the Iranian President Ebrahim Raisi said whilst addressing a cabinet session on Sunday, 29th of October. On Friday, 27th of October, the United Nations General Assembly overwhelmingly passed a resolution calling for the implementation of an immediate humanitarian truce in the Gaza Strip, which has been under a relentless and devastating war by the Israeli regime for the past 3 weeks. The UN General Assembly voted in favour of the resolution that had been drafted by Arab countries with 120 votes in favour, 45 abstentions and 14 votes against. Both the Israeli regime and the United States of America voted against the resolution. The vote at the United Nations General Assembly came after the United Nations Security Council failed 4 times in the past 2 weeks to take action because of the United States' recurrently casting its veto against relevant resolutions. Elsewhere in his remarks, the Iranian President Ebrahim Raisi stressed that all Muslims and free peoples of the world support the oppressed people of Palestine. Holding a summit meeting of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, OIC, is another step towards stopping the Zionist regime's crimes, which must continue until a final result is obtained, President Raisi emphasized. He noted that although Israel's war machine under political, media and security management of the United States is struggling to reclaim the regime's lost prestige, Palestinian resistance fighters and the resistance front are having the upper hand on the battlefield. The Iranian President Ebrahim Raisi said, "The recent move by the Zionist regime to infiltrate Gaza has so far failed and inflicted heavy casualties on the Israeli military." And according to resistance leaders, the assessment, if the move continues, Gaza will undoubtedly turn into a quagmire for the Israeli military. Al Jazeera television network has also covered the same story and tells us more. The Israeli regime has intensified its bombardment of the besieged Gaza Strip as internet and mobile communication services collapsed in the Palestinian territory. An extended series of large explosions lit up the sky over Gaza City after nightfall on Friday, 27th of October, and an Al Jazeera correspondent said Northern Gaza Strip was being pounded by incessant Israeli air raids and artillery fire. The Palestine Red Crescent Society said it had completely lost contact with its operations room in Gaza Strip and all of its teams operating on the ground in Gaza. The Israeli military spokesman Daniel Hagari said Israel has increased its air raids in a very significant way and that ground forces were expanding their activities in the Gaza Strip. The Israeli military spokesman told residents of Gaza City to move to southern Gaza on Friday night as the Israeli regime is escalating its aerial bombardment of northern Gaza. In the last 2 hours, we could hear intensive airstrikes and intensive artillery shells at the same time, which is something unusual, which means the strength of the fire is much more than in the previous days, according to the Al Jazeera correspondent Safat Kahlout, reporting from Gaza City. Kahlout said, "Today is the worst in terms of the strength of the Israeli fire, and we can hear some explosions coming from the sea as well, specifically in the northern Gaza Strip. The airstrikes and the artillery shells are intensifying now, particularly in northern Gaza." The Palestinian telecommunication company Jawal said in a social media post late on Friday that mobile phone and internet services in Gaza have been completely shut down. "We don't have any internet, we don't have any kind of signals on our phones, and we've become totally isolated in the territory."
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station. Youth Station.
I am a Muslim. I am a Muslim. Islamidi. Islamidi. Allah my Lord. Allah my Lord. His word Quran. His word Quran. Muhammad Prophet. Muhammad Prophet. Praise be upon. Praise be upon. I am Muslim for all of time.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners, sisters and brothers from every nook and cranny of the world. Welcome back to a new episode of your very favorite Youth Station. This is IRB English Radio and I am Asma once more at your service with...
This is Zahra and yeah. I am very happy to be with you.
So the pleasure is all mine. Just like always, Youth Station is home sweet home. Since I study literature, I have too much of evidences talking about the love that has not been fulfilled, the love that is so bitter and ends up so tragic, and the love that starts so beautifully and ends so sadly, the love that you try so hard for it, but then the obstacles won't let you succeed in it, and things like this. And the concept of love itself is an interesting thing. I guess all the people, ever since the human beings have been created, have been engaged in the concept of love. You know, we had this concept of platonic love that I every time I go through it, I just like to ponder more and more upon it. It's a sort of metaphysical love that you would share with a person or with a thing, or anything. It could be anything. You love something, but the kind of love that you share with that thing is so metaphysical and so beyond the words and the world that it remains as a holy thing forever in your brain. Mm-hmm. So, coming away from that utopian world, from that metaphysical love into this planet, planet Earth. In this planet that we live, there are many loves that cannot get a happy ending, or there are many loves that are impossible, or things like that. Like the stories we see in the movies, or we read in the novels, or plays, or things like that.
Of course, I think you have to always consider that what exactly is that love that we think is unattainable. A lot of times, actually, love that is true love is, it manifests itself in people's character, and they face a lot of hardships and difficulties on the way, but if it really is a love that is worth it, God does help people out. And sometimes growth is in the struggle. Sometimes.
Yeah, struggle is inevitable. Yeah. Anything beautiful does not come easy.
Yeah.
You have to fight for it so much. But the thing is that the true love that you mentioned many times remains just as a thing that exists in your brain, as if it's a creation of your brain.
Yeah, and so it's really important to first look back at the situation and be like, is this actually true love? Or mm-hmm. is this just some, you know, some weird fantasy? Yeah. Am I imagining that
or I'm infatuations, loving? You know, in past, maybe, again, we come back to the concepts that have changed in the modern life. In past, maybe the concept of love was much deeper and
simpler in a way.
Simpler in a way, and I would say holier. You know
holier
what I mean?
And deeper.
It was innocent.
Felt.
It was so innocent. But right now, many things come in the way, and then very much wrongly, falsely, they call it true love. But it's not true love. Most of the time, what we see that other are claiming to be true love, it's just infatuation. They want to spend time with each other as if... as if, you know, it's a relationship like other relationships, but I have picked this one out of them.
Yeah, and that's not really necessarily always right to call it love. And so in people who kind of suffer, they think they're suffering from heartbreak or
yeah.
some kind of love that they didn't get to.
Tragic dramas.
Yeah, should really look back and be like, if this was true love, why did it happen? On what basis did I love this person or thing? Was it love because of how it looked? How this person looked? Was it...
or how I felt for a temporary time?
Yeah. Or was there something deeper? Was there really some amazing attribute or quality that this person had that really just blinded
me? Impressed
me and... made me want to go after it.
And enchanted me.
Yeah, and so if there's a lot of talks in the wisdom, the philosophy, the roots of love, and maybe that's something we should talk about after a short break.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
So welcome back. This is Youth Station. Still, we're talking about love.
Exciting
broken-hearted people and things like that, which are so interesting. And during all the times, people of all the time, they have loved love. You know, the concept of love is something so lovable that people, even when they do not know the meaning of true love, they feel like this is love. They wrongly take it for love.
It's because it's really something that everybody wants.
Yeah.
People who study more about the roots and philosophy of love, there is a scholar who has a lot of talks in philosophy, talks about the roots of love as one of the... reasons and one of the ways that people love something or somebody is because of a higher quality that they see in them.
Yeah.
Now, some people have a very limited understanding of what higher qualities are. Like somebody's like, okay, this person's beautiful. That's why I love them.
Yeah.
And they don't have the ability to kind of look and be like, well, this beauty is temporary. I will get tired of this at some point.
You will get used to it, not
yeah,
tired of it. You know, after a
it.
Certain time, the picture of that person is not going to remain the same. You'd feel like, okay, I'm not living with the face of this person. I'm living with the personality of this person. And then you no longer see that picture,
yeah,
that beautiful sculpture that you have created in your mind. But what you're going to see is their characteristics.
And because if a love is based off of physical beauty, because of that particular thing you mentioned, and because there is always somebody who's going to be more beautiful
exactly.
out there, this person, as soon as they stop feeling that this person's beauty and quality that they considered valuable enough to love is that good anymore, they'll move on.
Yeah, they're
moving on. And the relationship breaks apart.
Exactly. So there's a lot to say in the concept of love and true love. And we put it aside that true love does not exist too much as we hear around about it. It's not true love, what we see in today's world.
It's rarer.
Yeah, it's very rare. True love is rare, like the stories we've watched in the movies that they die for each other, even after death. After the death of one of them, they do not stop loving that person. They still feel as if they're devoted, as if they're committed to a relationship. So those things, I guess, are part of the classic era. And the true love, even if it exists in today's world, it's very rare. And not many people are lucky enough to get that. Then aside from that, we are facing too many people who feel like they're brokenhearted.
Yeah.
These brokenhearted people, what they have to do with their heart that is broken.
So, I mean, I guess that the first thing to do would be to first look and see whether there was even any love in the first place for them to be feeling heartbroken now.
It would feel even more tragic. After being brokenhearted, understand that, okay, it wasn't even love.
Well, I mean, I guess it would help them move on. Like, you would think if you understand that, I don't know, if you liked a clothes because you thought it was pink and then you take it out into the light and then you see it's blue, you're going to be like, oh, okay, it was blue. Yeah. I guess I didn't like it.
Yeah.
And then you move on. You put it aside and you go after something that really matters. So I think what's important is to, first of all, see whether the source of that was real. And if it really was real and if it's a good thing and if you have the potential for it and you're religiously allowed to, go after it. I say don't give up.
Yes, of course. If it's true love, of course, you shouldn't give up. And true love never give ups,
yeah.
I suppose. But then there are obstacles. Now, we don't have anything to do with those things. We're just going to prescribe some remedies for those people with brokenhearted.
People who are going through heartbreak right now.
Yeah, people who are going through heartbreaks. So it's the best time for us to go for a short break, for a sip of water, change of mood, anything, and then we'll be back.
One of the du'as that I really like from As-Sahifa As-Sajjadia is the 24th supplication.
This is the last part of today's episode. Well, brokenhearted people, welcome back once more. I have a good news for you. You're not alone. There's a big bunch of people like you out there. So this is going to be soothing. And then it is not happening to you, only you. It happens and it can happen to everyone. But how to deal with it? Well,
how to move on.
Yeah. You're very interested in moving on. While it's the most difficult thing in the world to do, I guess the first step is to embrace all the realities.
Yeah.
Embrace it, just as you said. If it was a true love, if it wasn't, if you were just lying to yourself, if it was all hallucinations, you have created them. You know, there's, by the way, it's just an information to be added in. There's this book called The Lies We Tell Ourselves. It's the story. It's actually some chapters, psychological chapters, about a therapist that talks about his experiences with his patients. They tell him about their experiences, and then he helps them. And through those dialogues, there's a lot of things you can learn about yourself and about the lies you tell ourselves, about the hallucinations we create for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And we think they're truth while they are just building castles in the air.
Yeah. And so sometimes also heartbreak might be on the lines of broken trust. Remember, we had another episode where we talked about who to trust and
oh, yeah, that's
how to
important.
Overcome once we feel our trust has been broken. So for people facing heartbreak of that kind of nature, it's probably a good thing to go listen to.
Yeah, exactly. So trust is also so sad when it is broken.
Like, yeah, when people trust another individual and are in a relationship and that person does something to break that trust and kind of
turns out to be the other person, not the person you know.
Yeah, and so this person ends up heartbroken, alone, is trying to overcome it. For these kinds of people, same things we mentioned over there, you know, maybe seeing a counselor, seeing a therapist, doing some studying some religious texts
and
regarding
the most important way to just heal the problem of the broken-hearted people is to get back to Allah, I suppose.
Yeah.
If you strengthen your bond with your Lord, if you talk to Him all the time, if you bear your soul out for Him, I guess it's it would do you the trick and it would just help you heal.
Yeah. Actually, one of the scholars who had lost some family members after a event, I became familiar with this book after losing a friend about a year ago. He wrote this book called Musakkin al-Fu'ad inda Fird al-Ahibbati wal-Awlad, which is a book about, you know, calming your heart after having lost loved ones or children. So the other kind of heartbreak that follows after losing loved ones. And it has interesting topics, you know, like...
Yeah, it must have a beautiful concept as well.
Yeah, you know, how, you know, you can turn to God, you can give peace to yourself through...
Well, I guess the only remedy to all the problems and sicknesses that we have is to strengthen our bond with Allah.
Yeah.
And because He Himself all alone can help us. And the only idea that we are chit-chatting with Him is going to be soothing. And it's healing in itself.
For somebody to be hearing us and knowing what's up.
Yeah.
We hope to see you guys soon again in another episode.
Time flies so fast and we have to say bye.
Yeah. So thank you for listening to us. This was Youth Station. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Mm-hmm. Headlines: the civilian death toll is mounting as Israel keeps pounding the Gaza Strip. Over 8,300 Palestinians have so far been killed, more than a third of them children. The Palestinian Islamic Jihad movement dismisses Israel's claim of major gains on the ground in Gaza, saying resistance fighters have inflicted heavy losses on the regime forces. And Russia blames the U.S. and its allies for Israel's massacre of Palestinians in the Gaza Strip, saying American politicians are opposed to ceasefire.